We continue in 1 Thessalonians. Last week we took a little bit of a side from it as it was Easter Sunday. We kind of, it related to our study because we are talking about the week before that, we were talking about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church. And last week we talked about 1 Corinthians 15, about the resurrection, and how important that resurrection of Christ is.
Amen.
And how that even talked about the rapture. Well, today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is about what happens after the rapture. And the title of your lesson, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the title of the lesson number 8, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. This is a phrase that's used in the Bible often. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? We're going to see what it is today. Look at your introduction. After teaching about the rapture, Paul addresses what will happen here on earth after the believers meet the Lord in the air. In other words, what happens after? That's the first blank of the introduction. So he just taught them about the rapture in chapter 4. Now in chapter 5, he's going to talk about what happens after the rapture. And Roman numeral 1, this fits into the month of February. If you remember this, you should know the blank. Number 1, the thief in the night. The thief. We, of course, recently watched those films, classic films. And this is where this phrase is in the Bible. Now the question is, what is this phrase all about? The thief in the night. Well, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. First of all, in verse number 1, Paul says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." What is this times and seasons? Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The times, Paul says, of the times and of the seasons I'm not going to talk to you about. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. This phrase is used in Acts chapter 1, the times and the seasons. What is that talking about? After Jesus died and rose again, he was on this earth for 50 days, right? He was on this earth for that long period of time, meeting with the disciples, having meals with the disciples, encouraging them. And then it came time for what the Bible and what we call the ascension of Christ. The ascension, meaning ascending back to heaven. Jesus came to earth. He left heaven's glory. He came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He grew up as a normal human being. He was 100% man and 100% God, right? He grew up on this earth. He lived a normal life just like you and I do. Human experience. He got tired. He got hungry. He got, you know, all those things that we deal with. And then he died on the cross. Then he rose again. And he was here for a certain number of days after his resurrection. And then he ascended back up into heaven, which is where he is today. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, they're talking to Jesus, the disciples, after his resurrection. They said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" You see what they asked? This was their focus. The kingdom. This is why the disciples were so distraught after Jesus died. Because in their mind, he was here to set up the kingdom. And when Jesus didn't set up the kingdom, they were distraught. Alright? Their dreams were shattered. They were set. Why? Well, because that's what the Old Testament talks about. The Old Testament talks about the kingdom. The kingdom of the Messiah. They missed the part about him dying on the cross. They missed Isaiah 53, I guess. They didn't really understand that chapter. But they're thinking about Isaiah chapter 2. Where Isaiah chapter 2 talks about the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Lord, and the peace on earth. Well, now the disciples figure, okay, Jesus, you just died and you rose again, so now you're going to set up your kingdom, right? Now you're going to set up your earthly kingdom. And in verse 7, Jesus answered them. Verse 7, he said unto them, "It is not me, for it is not for you to know the times or the seasons." That's the same phrase that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 used.
Amen.
Paul said, "I'm not going to talk to you about the times and the seasons." What Jesus is saying here, he says, it's not time for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Jesus says, I'm not going to tell you exactly when it's going to happen. I'm not going to give you a date. So many people want to figure out a date. And you may hear them on the radio, you may hear them on TV, and they want to pick a date. Jesus is returning, and the newest one, all right, on the radio, there's a certain individual on a Christian radio station who actually, you know, I don't know how this individual does this, but he has picked the month, the day, and the year.
Yeah.
I think he said May 20th, May 20th or May 23rd, 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah, how he knows this, I don't know. Because Jesus said, nobody knows. Now, if Jesus says nobody knows, that means nobody. That means this guy who's saying this May 23rd, 2011, means he doesn't know. It means he's making this up himself because he wants to follow. People have predicted dates all through the years. Okay, he predicted back in 1994 that Jesus was going to come back. Well, guess what? 1994 is coming past quite a while ago. We're still here. Listen, Jesus says in Acts 1:7, you're not going to know the time. Right? Jesus said, in such an hour as you think not. You don't know when he's going to come back. That's why Jesus said, be ready at all times. You don't know when he's going to come back. Okay? It could be any time. It could be today. It could be in 2050. We don't know. Nobody knows. Adela?
Yes, that reminds me, he's really calling God. He's so calling the time. You know, like if you think about it, when the Bible says that for God, 1,000 days is like 1 day.
Right.
Yeah,
true.
In
God's timing. God's not limited by time. Right. God doesn't keep time like we do. And even in 2 Peter, you know, people even in Peter's day were beginning to worry and say, well, when's Jesus coming back? He hasn't come back yet. He's not going to come back. And Peter had to tell them, hey, listen, you know, God is patient. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet today? Because he's giving people more time. He's giving people more time to turn to him. He's giving people an opportunity.
Amen.
And we're going to see some verses even in 1 Thessalonians that are going to talk about this. Now look at verse 8. What should we be concerned about? Acts 1:8. But what we should be concerned about is verse 8. Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. In other words, what Jesus says here is in verse 7, you don't need to worry about the times or the seasons and this and that and the when, but verse 8, just be a witness for me. That's all. So letter A on your paper. Letter A, we are not supposed to guess when these events will happen. Do not worry about the when, Brother Emilio.
Right.
Yeah, that would be after. The first blank for the introduction is after. And Roman numeral 1 is the thief in the night. And letter A, we are not supposed to guess when. Don't worry about the when. It could be soon. It could be late. We don't know when. But just concern yourself with being ready and being a witness. That's what we're here to do.
Well, it's true. I know has happened through the faith.
Right.
But no.
There are things that happen that we could say, wow, you know, it seems like it's near. And it could, absolutely. But we just don't know, right? Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now look at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. So Paul says, I'm not going to talk to you about the times and the seasons and when it's going to happen. You know, we're not going to discuss that. But in verse 2, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Point being this, the thief comes unannounced. The thief comes without warning. Thieves don't say, I'm coming in. Get ready. That would be pretty silly. Now, thieves have done foolish things. You've heard some foolish things. You've heard the reports where, you know, the thief robs the bank but leaves his wallet in the bank. You've heard those stories. And those stories do happen. Those are true stories. You know, people rob a bank or something and they leave their wallet in the bank. Well, okay. We're going to find you now. So, you know, there's been some foolish things that thieves have done. But thieves usually don't announce their arrival. They don't leave you a note and say, hey, I'm going to rob your house on Wednesday night, so get ready. They don't do that. That's the point of this illustration. And the illustration is, hey, you don't know when it's going to happen. So, don't worry about it. Now, the question is this, though. What are we supposed to be looking for? All right? Because what does a thief do? We're gonna mention that in a future letter. You know, a thief comes to do something that's bad. So does the day of the Lord, is that the same as the rapture, or is this something different? It's actually something different. Let's look at letter B. Believers are looking to what is called the blessed hope. Letter B is hope. Believers, you and I as Christians, those who know Christ as their Savior, are looking to what is called the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 talks about the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we talked about meeting the Lord in the air. That's what we're looking to. We're looking to the hope, which is the rapture. We're not looking for the thief. Chapter 5 is talking about what happens after. So what is this? Letter C. The day of the Lord is for judgment. The day of the Lord is not the rapture. The day of the Lord is what happens after the rapture. So the day of the Lord is judgment time. Judgment. How do we know this? Well, let's look at some Old Testament verses. If we look at Isaiah chapter 2. So let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll see some verses that talk about what the day of the Lord is. It's a phrase you'll see a lot in the Bible, the day of the Lord. And here we saw it in 1 Thessalonians 5. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 12. Let's get there together. And if somebody would like to read that.
For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be wrought low.
What is that speaking of? Well, that's speaking of judgment. God is going to judge the world for their sin, their pride. Look at verse 12. The proud and the lofty. Do we have a proud culture? Oh, yes. Is America filled with pride? Sure. Sure. America is filled with pride. The attitude of we don't need God. So we're going to kick God out of the schools, we're going to kick God out of the government, and we're going to kick God out of everything because we're proud. God is going to deal with that pride. How about Isaiah chapter 13? And there's a few verses I'd like to read to you. Isaiah 13, starting in verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. Behold, Isaiah 13, 9. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And verse 10 talks about how the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. This sounds like the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Amen. That's like the book of Revelation. This was spoken of in the Old Testament. And it talks about in verse 10, the sun shall be darkened, the moon won't light. Verse 11, and I, this is God speaking, I will punish the world for their evil. Notice, and even the rest of the verse talking about, I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. Wow. So what is the day of the Lord? That's the time of the tribulation when God is judging this world. That's what the day of the Lord is. The thief in the night, the day of the Lord, that is the judgment time for this world. Because, see, people don't like to talk about this part of God. People like to talk about God as love, and He is. 1 John chapter 4, God is love, right? That's in the Bible. But so is this. There's two parts, and it's the same God. He's a loving God. How do we know He's a loving God? Well, because He sent His Son to die on the cross. I mean, is that not an illustration of love? I mean, that's love. Would any of you be willing to give your child up for somebody else? No, right? That would be, you wouldn't do that. God did that. God gave up His Son to die on the cross. So there's no questioning God's love. But God is also a God of holiness, justice. And when people basically tell God, get out, God's going to deal with that. God's not just going to say, oh, it's okay. God, the Bible says, He's going to bring down their pride. So there's two sides of God's character, and people need to realize that. So the point is you want to be in God's family.
Amen.
Because those who are in God's family are not going to be part of Isaiah chapter 13. They're not going to be judged with the world. We're going to read some verses in a little bit here. And I know if I don't get moving, we won't get there. So we want to be in God's family, don't we? Because if you're not in God's family, you're going to be judged. And you don't want it. God made a way. God made a way out of judgment. Just like, remember Noah. God had Noah built that ark. Noah built that ark. God made a way. All they had to do was get in the ark. And they would not have drowned in the flood. See, God loves people. He gave them an opportunity. But what did they do? They laughed at Noah. They said, Noah, you're crazy. And they mocked him. The Bible says they made fun of Noah building this big boat. What are you doing, Noah? You must have lost your mind, they said to Noah. But then the day came when the rains came down. You see, so God makes a way. But so many people reject God. They reject His way. And that's letter C. That's why it is a day of judgment. There's so many more verses we could look at. You could maybe look those up when you get home. Letter D. The day of the Lord covers the events from the rapture through the millennium. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-U-M. So two L's and two N's. The millennium. That's what the day of the Lord covers. And you could, again, there's a lot of scripture there. Revelations chapter 6 through 19 deal with all of that information. We've been talking about that in the recent months. And then lastly, letter E of this point. A thief comes to destroy. A thief comes to destroy. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I'll read it to you, John 10, 10. Listen to what Jesus said about a thief. This is how we know what the thief in the night is. John 10, 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
So you see, the thief in the night, that's the day of judgment. That's the day of judgment. So number one is the thief in the night. Now number two is what we call the children of darkness. The children of darkness. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. Who will be affected by this thief in the night? Who's going to be affected by the thief in the night? Will we be affected? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Will we be affected by the thief in the night? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 talks about who will be there. He says, for when they shall say. Now, do you notice a different word there? The word they. Go back to verse number 17 of chapter 4. Do you see the second word of 1 Thessalonians 4, 17? Then we. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says we. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, he says they. You know why? Because the rapture, chapter 4, affects us as Christians. Chapter 5, the day of the Lord, affects them, non-Christians. That's the changing word. That's very important. You know, every word of the Bible is important, right? Don't ever let somebody tell you that the words of the Bible aren't important. Every word of the Bible is important. Sometimes you get these folks out there to say, oh, well, it's not the words that matter, it's just the ideas. No, the words matter. Those are the folks that like to change the Bible, you know, and they want to change, you know, modernize it. No, no, listen. Every word matters. And that word, verse number three, they. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Notice the illustration Paul uses? As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He says, what's going to happen, Paul says, is they're going to say, oh, everything's peaceful, everything's great, everything's fine, and that's when it's going to happen.
Amen.
Just when everybody thinks that there's world peace, just when everybody thinks everything's going well in the world, that's when this is going to happen, and that's letter A. There will be a false sense of security prior to the tribulation. There's going to be a false sense of security, a false sense of well-being, that everything's okay. And I don't know where this is going to come from. I have a feeling, though, that it might come from some political leader that's going to assure everybody that everything's okay. I'm sure it's going to come from some political leader somewhere, whether he be from America or another country, we don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I believe it's going to come from some political leader standing up somewhere and assuring everybody, everything's okay, no need to worry, we're going to take care of you, and all this and that. And the Bible says that's when the sudden destruction comes. We've got to be careful of that. Now, letter B. Paul shifts from we to them. So letter B is them. Because we will not be here. That's why the word them is used, because we will not be here. If it's not we, it's them. And then lastly, at this verse, verse 3, letter C, the tribulation will be inescapable. Inescapable. It says at the end of verse 3, they shall not escape. They shall not escape. There's no way to get out of this. People will try, but there's no way out. Yes, sir. Yeah, it could be him, or it could be someone working with him. I believe so. Yep. Now look at verse 4. But ye brethren, now the question was asked, will we be affected by this? We already answered it, but look at verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Paul says, but you Christians, you are not going to be part of it. You're not going to be overtaken by that day. So that's letter D. Only those in spiritual darkness, the lost, will be overtaken. Only the lost people. There's only two classes of people in the world. Did you know that? Everybody's filling out the census, aren't they? You got your census in the mail yet? And, you know, it seems to me the only thing they're really concerned about is how many people live in your house and what nationality you are. Which, I understand they want to know the geographical makeup, the demographical makeup of each community, and I understand that. But you know, in God's eyes, there's only two classes of people. It's not Spanish and Italian and Irish and this and that. It's not those. In God's eyes, you're either saved or lost.
Amen.
That's it in God's eyes. When God looks down from heaven, He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, all these different nationalities, because the Bible says in 1 John, or in John 3:16, that God so loved the world. He loved everybody. He made everybody different. So God loves all nations. Okay? But in God's eyes, there's only one of two, either saved or lost. And letter D, only those who are lost will be overtaken. Let's look at verse 7. It says, for they that sleep, we're going to come back to the other verses, but let's go to verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Well, I mean, that's a normal human thing, right? You sleep at nighttime. And they that be drunken in the night. I'm running out of time, but I have to tell you the story. I have to, because I'm reading about someone being drunken. We were upstate all week, my family and I, because my sister-in-law had a bridal shower yesterday. So we were up there all week. We didn't get home till 11 p.m. last night. And it's about 10:30, 10:40 p.m. and we're on Interstate 80 eastbound, and we're about maybe we're around exit 38, so we're about only 10 minutes from Patterson or so. And all of a sudden, there is a car in front of us doing this on the interstate, doing this. I said, "Oh my word!" So we, of course, you know, I mean, we're in four lanes here. So she's in the left, far left lane. I say, "All right, I'm getting all the way in the far right lane. I'm getting away from her." And so we actually drive ahead, and as we drive ahead, she hits the median, but keeps going. I saw in my side mirror, she banged the median and kept going. I said, all right. I said to my wife, I said, Danielle, we got to call 911. We can't let this lady's going to kill somebody. So we actually, I hit the brakes. I said, let me slow down, let her go ahead, and then I got somewhat close behind her where I could follow her safely, and I'm watching her. She's just swerving the whole time. So we called 911, and thankfully gave them the license plate, the mile marker, and sure enough, within a few moments, the New Jersey State Trooper gets right behind her, and he's following her. Not only this, prior to that, she also lost what looked like a part of her tire, but she's still going. 70 miles an hour she's going. And the State Trooper finally gets behind her, and he's following her. You know how they do. They'll tell you for a while before they turn the lights on. And he's watching her, and she's still, I mean, she's on the dotted line. You know, swerving, and he finally turned the lights on and pulled her over. You know, I was like, praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, sin, you know, because honestly, it's people like that that kill whole families, and that's a crime. She's off the roads, and I'm sure she's, you know, probably spent the night in jail somewhere, and that car got towed. But you know, they that be drunken, when are they drunken? 10:30 at night on a Saturday night. Because Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than light because it conceals their sin. They feel like they can hide in the night. When are most crimes committed? At night. Most crimes. Yeah, you have your crazy, crazy criminals that commit them in broad daylight, but most crimes are committed at night. They feel like it hides them. So what do we got? Letter E. Sin is associated with the night. Sin is associated with the night. So when Jesus says in verse number, or when Paul says in verse number 7, that you are not of the night, they that sleep, we're talking about spiritual sleep, you're not of the night. That's unbelievers. They're in darkness, spiritual darkness. You understand, before a person comes to Christ for salvation, they're in spiritual darkness. You were, before you came to know Christ as your Savior, you were in spiritual darkness. You didn't really know, you didn't understand this book. That's often what an unbeliever will say. Is they'll say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, that's true. You won't. Because if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not going to understand this book. That's why you need to pray to Christ for salvation. Say, Lord, I need to be saved. Please save me. He will. And you know what will happen? You'll begin to understand the Bible. Amen. Amazing thing that happens. You'll begin to understand this book.
That's exactly what happened to me. Many, my sister would say first, she would tell me, read the Bible, read the Bible. I'd open it up and look at it, and I'd say, I don't know what this means. Yeah. The night that I got saved, the Wednesday night after prayer meeting, the next morning I woke up with a desire to read the Bible.
It's amazing. You know, God changes you.
It was so weird.
So many times people try to change themselves. You know, they try to change themselves from the outside in. But what God wants to do is He wants to change it from the inside out. Right? God wants to change you. We got to let God do the changing. And He will. So what we're looking at, letter E, sin is associated with the night. And you know what else? Letter F, Satan wants to rock the cradle and put the whole world to sleep.
Amen.
Satan wants to rock the cradle. He doesn't want people to wake up spiritually. He wants everybody to think that everything's okay. He wants everybody to think that they're okay. He wants to rock the cradle and let everybody sleep spiritually. He doesn't want people to wake up and read the Bible. He doesn't want people to wake up and come to church. He will fight it. And Satan wants people to sleep. Whereas the Lord wants people to wake up. And that's going to be number three. The children of the day. Number three, the children of the day. And that's back to verse 5. What are we? Verse 5, ye, Paul is talking to the church now, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are supposed to be associated with light. We are supposed to be associated with the day. That's what Christians are supposed to be associated with. Christians should be associated with the light. Jesus is the light of the world, the Bible says. And that's letter A. Believers have been translated from darkness to light.
Amen.
It's as though the light has been turned on in your life. God turns on the light. He opens your eyes. He takes away the blindness. The Bible says that Satan blinds the minds of the unbelievers. He blinds their eyes so they can't understand. But when a person gets saved, the light is turned on. All of a sudden you can see. And letter B. We are called to walk in the light. We're supposed to walk in the light. Jesus said, follow me and ye will not walk in darkness, Jesus said. He said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness anymore. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to understand. Listen, in the dark, it's hard to get to one place to the other, right? The first thing you do when you wake up, usually in the middle of the night, is you fumble for the light, don't you? Otherwise, you're going to be stubbing your toe. You're going to be tripping over things. You know, there are many times where I banged into something because I didn't see. And you know, we all do that. We always need the light to see where we're going. When a person doesn't know Christ, it's like they're in a dark room. They don't know where they're going. And they're bumping into things and getting hurt. And they don't understand what's happening. But then when they get saved, the light turns on. They see. And Jesus says, follow me. And let her see. The day... What is the day like? Like today, outside, the day is characterized by warmth, light, and growth. things grow in the day. The flowers grow, the trees grow, right? The grass grows. Without daylight, those things don't grow. They need sun. And the sun warms things up. The sun provides light. The sun provides growth. That's what we need to be. The Bible says, walk in the light.
Amen.
When we walk in the light, as He is in the light, when we walk in the light, we're going to grow, we're going to be warmed, and we're going to see, and God's going to bless our life. But you know, the unsaved, what are they living in? They're living in the night. They're living in darkness. There's, you know, the darkness is associated with cold. The darkness is associated with all kinds of problems, you know, sin and no growth. Darkness is the gloomy time. We want to be in the day. We want to be part of the light. And that's what Paul is telling them. Now look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep. Paul says, oh boy, you Christians, don't you fall asleep on the job. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now that word sober doesn't just mean the absence of alcohol. It also means just clear thinking. Have a clear mind. And that's letter D. Believers must be awake and watching at all times. We need to be awake because Satan wants to put us to sleep. And Satan sometimes wants to put Christians to sleep too. He wants to put churches to sleep. Satan wants the church to fall asleep on the job so that we don't do the things we're supposed to do as Christians. He wants us to fall asleep on the job, on His job, on the Lord's job. You know, the Lord's given us a job to do. And Satan wants to put us to sleep. He doesn't want us to do the things God wants us to do. You know? And Satan wants Christians on Sunday morning to hit the snooze button too many times on the alarm clock so they don't come to church, right? Keep hitting the snooze button. Ah, I can't get up, and they sleep through church. That's what Satan wants. He wants these things to happen because he doesn't want people coming. He's fighting. So we need to be awake. Letter E. What a shame it would be for believers to fall asleep on the job. It would be a shame. And that's what Paul is warning the Christians about. He says, don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Be alert. And then letter F. What is sleep? Letter F, sleep in the Bible here in this chapter is careless indifference concerning spiritual things. Ah, you know, we don't really care about this, we don't care about that, and before you know, we don't care about anything. That's a bad place to be in where you don't care about anything. There's a lot of people in the world today that just don't care about anything. It's a word called apathy. They just don't care. I don't care about this, and I don't care about that, and they don't care about anything. They don't care about their families. They don't care about their church. They don't care about their own life. And that's a sad place to be. You don't want to be that way. You don't want to be a sleeper where you just don't care about anything. You want to care. And verse number 8, but let us who are of the day, what should we do? Be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. There's our three ingredients, faith, hope, and love. This is the third time we've seen this in the Bible. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 13. We saw it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and here we see it again. Faith, hope, and love. And that's letter G. Be careful. We're talking about armor here, letter G. A lethargic soldier is in great danger. We're in a war, the Bible teaches. Christians are in a battle. And you know what? If a soldier falls asleep when they're in the middle of a war, they're a sitting target. And we need to be careful. We need to be awake spiritually. And then verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Christians are not going to be judged with the world. And that's letter H. God will not judge the church with the world.
Amen.
God will not judge the church with the world. That's why He's going to take us out first before He judges the world. Just like Abraham talked to God back in Genesis 18, Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. Terrible sin. And God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, well, God, if there's 50 righteous people, will you destroy it? And God said, no. He said, Lord, if there's 40, would you? And God said, no. And if there's 30, and he got down to 10. God, if there's 10 righteous people in that city, would you destroy it? And God said, no, I wouldn't. Because God won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. So what God did was he sent the angels down and he took Lot and his family out and destroyed everybody else. Because Lot and his family were the only ones that knew God. And even they were in a pretty bad mess. They didn't have a good life story either. But they knew the Lord. So you see, letter H, God won't judge the church with the world. That's why he's going to take us out. And that's why we stress, you want to make sure you're in God's family. Because you don't want to be here. And then verse 10, last verse of this morning before we take a break before the morning service. Verse 10, talking about Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Meaning no matter what, that's first letter I, Christ paid the price. He died for us so that we don't have to go through the wrath of God. He took the wrath of God for us on that cross.
Amen.
He went through terrible anguish of pain, physical pain and spiritual pain when God the Father turned his back and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus paid the price so that we don't have to pay the price. He paid the price for us. But the point is if you don't receive it, if you don't receive it as a gift, then you have to pay the price. See, Jesus paid the price so that you don't have to. But if you don't accept it, then you have to pay the price. And lastly, letter J, no matter what, we're talking about for Christians, we will live with Christ forever in heaven. And that's the blessed comfort. That's the blessed comfort. No matter what, we will live with Christ forever. Christians live in a different sphere of life from non-Christians. It is the difference between day and night. As far as the day is from the night, opposite, that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Between a saved person and an unsaved person, it's night and day. It's night and day. But we're children of the day. So we're not going to be affected by the thief in the night. And that's what the day of the Lord is. The day of the Lord is talking about the thief in the night after the rapture. Next week we'll continue with the next few verses. And we'll work our way through this book. And we're almost done with this book. So we trust to be back next week for the next lesson. So let's close in a word of prayer. And Brother Bob, would you close us in a word of prayer?